Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
Tell us, Bill, who's our sponsor today?
Well, you know, our sponsor today is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They are swinging with deals right now. Just go up and see them. They got mowers, they got tractors, they got attachments, they got generators, which you're going to need here pretty quick. Summer's coming.
Come the power shutoffs.
Yep, they're going to shut down your power, so get a generator so you don't thaw that turkey early. That's just no fun.
Well, hey, it is hot enough here. You could cook it, too.
Yeah, you can put it right on the sidewalk.
Thaw it and cook it.
Slow roast. And you can go up and see.
Easy for you to say.
Excuse me.
You could go up and see him?
At 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City.
I was channeling you.
Yeah. And their phone number is 226-9226. Or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
.com. Yeah. I'll do the .com so you do the We the People Radio.
.us.
There you go. Between the two of us, we can actually get a website out.
Yeah, there you go.
It's actually kind of important.
We'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. So we decided to circle back on China because we have not chatted with our guest. I pulled the Jen Psaki. Sorry, the only one who got it was Travis in the other room.
Did you circle back around?
I was circling back on China.
Oh.
Are there hand motions to go with it? Does she do this? Does she circle back?
She swings her hair, though.
Oh.
Swing the hair out of the way.
Circle
back around.
I can't swing my hair because it's hooked under the headphones. But we're going to circle back on China and find out what's happening now that the Biden blunderers have taken over, and the most terrifying result has actually happened. The last time we spoke with Dr. Chen was prior to these guys taking over in January, and it was like that was when we were hoping for a miracle.
Yeah, China's put on a whole new face.
The miracle didn't happen.
Yeah,
they came over here to tell us what a bunch of knuckleheads we are. So,
we better shape up, and we said yes. Right away.
Yep. So yeah. Dr. Chen can help us decode that. I think we have a vague idea of what that means, but he can give us a much closer look. He's been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years, for those of you who have not listened to the show prior. He has founded, co-founded, or been spokesperson for a number of organizations concerning China and has spoken extensively on issues related. He began his activism in 1989 when he helped organize supporting activities during the 1989 Beijing student movement. He was outraged by the June 4th massacre, and he founded the Tiananmen Square Foundation. He served on the board of the Press Freedom Guardian and was elected the vice president of the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars in the U.S. And upon learning, I'll give you a little more this time. A lot of times I kind of cut this off. This is actually all on the website. And I do hope you'll go on there and check out previous shows. I should say we started chatting with Dr. Chen, and we've done quite a few shows on China, actually, not just with him. But we started doing this back in July of 2019. So like long before the virus and all that kind of good stuff. We were looking into all these things, but he was born in China in 1962, and at 15 he entered the gifted program at the China University of Science and Technology. He came to the U.S. in 1982 to study and received his Ph.D. in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego. He currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego. So that's kind of his background. I left out a whole lot of things. He has co-authored some things, Stories of Conscience, the Falun Gong Report, quite a few things on Falun Gong, and we're going to be talking about that in 2 weeks on the 11 with Mitchell Nicholas Gerber. That information's actually already up on everything's up on the website from now until the 25th of April. I'm way ahead of myself. But his information is on there. We will be looking at the persecution of the Falun Gong and the forced organ harvesting that goes on over in China. And if that's a new idea for you, we have done a couple shows on that in the past, but I would encourage you to tune in on the 11th of April for that. Today is the 28th of March, the very end of March. And so here we go. We've got like 5 minutes before the break, plenty of time. So, Dr. Chen, how have you been since January, besides, you know, being sad like the rest of us watching this?
Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
We can.
Oh, I miss you and I love you.
God bless him.
I am glad to see you're still in good spirit.
Well, you know, the alternative isn't good.
Mm-hmm. America is definitely in crisis. Mm-hmm. Worse crisis than I had ever feared of before. So, you were talking, I mean, in your introduction, Bill, I think Bill was referring to the Alaska U.S.-China meeting. Is that right?
Yes, yes. It went so well for us.
Yeah. Well, it actually went better than, depends on your viewpoint, than where the public would go. The public would know. It went a lot better for Biden and for the CCP. Okay? So, let's start out with that dialogue. First of all, that clearly is a stunt for the Chinese public. It's a show to be seen. The Chinese public that the CCP continues to defeat so-called patriotic zeal. I call it they call it patriotism. I call it hatredism.
Yeah, very much hatredism. I could see that. That's a good name for that.
Yeah. So, and I give you one evidence why that is a stunt. Consul Yang, the number one guy in this meeting, representing the CCP. He went on a rant for about 17 minutes, didn't require. In fact, he refused translation. So who was he speaking to? If he didn't need a translation, or does he really think Americans can understand Chinese? But also, we have to know that he is also helping the Biden administration in a way, right? Because he was setting up this tough stand against the Biden administration, and the Biden administration can then turn around and explain to the American people, look, this is how we have dealt with them. We have been tough and upfront with them, and that's why we're seeing this, right? But first of all, before I talk about Biden administration, let's first wind back and review what happened in a few other incidents, right? Trump administration in comparison with Trump administration. Every time the CCP throw a tantrum or misbehave, it got punished by the Trump administration. So, and then that's the CCP's, that has been CCP's trademark tactic move. Right? They would negotiate with you for a few months or for a long time, and then at the last minute, they would tear up everything and then frustrate you in the hope that you will then make some kind of concession and they'll gain something. Right?
And that's so, that's their prevailing strategy.
Right. They do it all the time. It's not their only strategy, okay? They have a whole range of dishonest manipulation, which the dishonest establishment in this country are learning quickly, okay? Well, that's another topic. But
I see what you're saying. Yeah, we've unfortunately decided to emulate the worst of Chinese society. Hold on for 2 seconds. We've got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with our guest, Dr. Shizong Chen. Chen, you are listening to We the People, and you can find us at We the People Radio.
.us.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. Last on the show, don't get your money's worth. With this show, it happened.
And we're back. So a little correction on what I gave you earlier. We started doing shows about China back in November of 2018. That was kind of a long time ago. If you go to the China tab on our website, we have linked some things for you. The Epoch Times, for starters. If you're not reading them, they send out one newspaper a week and always, you know, 24/7 access online, obviously. But the newspaper itself is fantastic. And if you have people who are sort of not in the know, but they're information people, and you keep trying to get, you know, like the actual facts of what's going on in the world in front of them, this is a great way to do it. Just take your hard copy of the Epoch Times. So it shows up in my mailbox on Fridays, and I used to leave it out and let my mom read it. And the writing is very, very good. It really pulls people in, and it's not a, you know, it's not a one-way news source. They report news, and they do a very good job on the stories, not just little snippets, and it's not full of a bunch of idiotic, Hollywood stuff. It's actually news. They have a very good political section. So, a little commercial for the Epoch Times there. But back to you, Dr. Chen. So these guys have just been kind of, they do this all the time to us. They string us along and then go back to their old tricks, and we wind up with nothing.
Yeah. And then they, in the process, frustrate you, and then trying to get in extra. They did that at the beginning. Actually, throughout the process. But then they learned that President Trump will not fall in their trap. So the first time, they tear up the whole agreement. President Trump then slapped them with a hefty tariff. And then this is not the first time, okay? What Tiger Yang threw in Alaska is not the first tantrum by CCP. And so after President Trump slapped them with the tariff, they start to throw up tantrum in China, along with, you know, in their newspaper and they claim that we are not afraid of trade war. If you want a trade war, we'll give you a trade war. If a small trade war, we'll win small. If a big trade war, we'll win huge. Right? So they went on this bluffing. So then they slap back some tariff on the U.S. part, right? And then President Trump then adds a little more. They export much more to the U.S. than they export to them. And so finally, they start to behave, right? And they realize they cannot the United States, economically. Right? And so I won't go through the whole process, okay? And it's through this kind of a lessons that President Trump gave them, they start to behave. And if you all remember, when they finally came to sign the first stage trade deal, come to Washington, D.C., instead of Tiger Young lecturing the United States this time in Alaska, President Trump, in front of over 200 guests, lectured the CCP in their bad trade behavior for over an hour. So that was just a couple of years ago. So I don't know how many people remember that. That's a stark contrast, okay? And then I forgot the exact time, but then about a year ago, a little more than a year ago, the same Tiger Young flew to Hawaii, begging a meeting with Pompeo. So they met there. And then Pompeo later told us, told the public, and told the news that the CCP is only talk, no action. And so, basically, the U.S. didn't give in, and Tiger Young went back empty-handed. Because that was then, okay? All this was not truthfully reported. And rather, all these achievements by President Trump was attacked as trade war, as Cold War, as all that, by our own media. And so I want to leave the point here that the deceptive reporting by the so-called mainstream media has done American harm. They played a major role to mislead a significant portion of this country's people believing in the lies. Okay, so now let's move back to the Alaska dialogue, and I just talked about that was a stunt pulled by the CCP party. But then, that's not my worst fear. And my greatest fear now, it seems to become true. That is, I see a administration now capable of conspiring with the CCP to also stage a stunt for American public. If this happened under either President Trump or with Pompeo as Secretary of State, this meeting will not end like this.
Yeah, they wouldn't have allowed it.
Right. I am sure Secretary Pompeo would say, okay, then if you claim that you're not going to listen to us at all, then there's no point talking. Our so-called strategic dialogue should end right here, just like what happened in Hawaii, Secretary Pompeo's meeting with Tiger Young. But not only that is not the case, I do not have a final proof that we look at around what's reported out of that, after the public stunt for the first 1.5 hour, first 90 minutes, there are three closed-door sessions. Obviously, the CCP gained a whole lot, a substantive stuff, from those three closed-door meetings. Now, we don't know what they are. We don't know all about what they are, but we know a few things, right? And that's what caused my fear, right? First of all, the meeting avoided the topic of COVID-19, which is number one world issue now, right? And then it also avoided to touch on the implementation of trade deals between the CCP and the United States. That was the trade deal that I was just talking about, the first day trade deal. China is supposed to buy a certain amount of American goods, right? And that is not touched up, I don't look like. Okay? And also, worst part, I don't even know if it's the worst part, but it's a very terrible part, is that Biden administration is letting the CCP back on a number of issues that the Trump administration has successfully kicked the CCP out. Cut off their playing there, right? That is the North Korean issue. There are several major international or foreign relationships achievement from the Trump administration that is seems to be lost right now already. Okay, just name a few. Number one, the overall terrorist issue, in particular, the nuclear threat issue. President Trump was able to keep North Korea and Iran at bay. In both.
Ooh.
That didn't sound good.
That sounded like we had a little disconnection. Oddly enough, it was exactly when we were supposed to have a break. So, okay, just for the record, we did not hang up on him so we could take a break. Oh, my goodness. So you are listening to We the People. We hope you will join us online anytime. The archives are free. You can listen to 10 years of programming, pick the things you want, leave the rest. We've got a lot of good information for you on there, and it's at wethepeopleradio.us. Did we find Dr. Chen again?
Oh, good. I told I told her not to hang up.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, there was a loud...
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there was a loud click, and then, you were gone.
Oh, I didn't do anything here. I don't know what happened.
Huh. Well, we know who to blame it on. We obviously know whose fault it is. The CCP
was... Yeah, I actually kept talking, so I don't know where I got lost. So I should go back to go back to where I was talking.
Yeah, mentally roll back 2 minutes to the big click.
Mm.
You had said that the Trump administration you know, had held China and Iran, you know, at bay, and you kind of went from there, and it was kind of shortly after that that we had the unceremonious.
So I was talking about. Was I talking about several Trump administration's achievement in international relationships?
Yes. Yeah, you were talking about him putting sanctions on every time they misbehaved.
Oh, that was even further. Okay, so then did you hear me talk about the Hawaii meeting where Secretary? Oh, yeah, we already went through that.
Yep,
so,
we did.
So I talked about. You know,
we're all good there.
Okay, so then. So I know where I was talking to them. President Trump kept North Korean and Iran at bay, right?
Mm-hmm.
About terrorists, in particular nuclear threat. And then the refugee problem that has plagued the whole world for, you know, at least a dozen years, right, if not more, was also significantly mitigated in the past 4 years. And then the third important thing is world economic order. Now, I'm not talking about like regular economic order. I'm talking about economic order that deliberately disrupted by the CCP. Where they would close, they would manipulate the market, they would close their market, but then dump their product to the world market, and also they would force companies to transfer their technology if they want to go into China, and then steal their, basically this is not even stealing anymore, this is robbing their technology. And then stealing their technology through cyber war, cyber thieves. Now, those are major disruption of economic world economic orders. And President Trump went at it forcefully. And all this problem now seems to come back. And so this is really a loss, major loss for America. But then those are not even the worst part. The worst part is when President Biden made clear his bottom line to the CCP, and that gave, I know CCP from inside out, okay? And many people do know, also know that, okay? When he said he is not looking for or seeking confrontation with the CCP, that is a bottom line. That gave CCP our national secret. And yet, he's doing, not only just him, but his whole administration is doing double talking. And saying that, you know, we will, basically they're saying, we will not seek confrontation, but we will cross CCP's red lines, or we will be tough with them. What does that mean? When you talk tough with them, what if confrontation rises? What will you do? So that's double talking. Now, so my greatest fear now is that our government now, or the Biden administration is now capable of collaborating or even conspiring with a foreign power to stage the show. That will benefit the CCD as well as benefit them. Right? This is a double talking. They have their bottom line, they give their bottom line to the CCD, but they are deceiving American public with a false bottom line. When they give the true bottom line to the CCP and then gave us American public a false bottom line, that is treason. And I'm afraid that we have a treasonous government right now betraying America's interests. And we'll see. We'll see. There will be proof coming in. Right now, this is our fear. And there's strong evidence suggesting that is happening. But then we will see whether the Biden administration invite Xi to come for a state visit or other compromises. Right? Because I will go to the bottom line of each government. Right now, each government needs legitimacy, and they may give each other that legitimacy, and that I think we need to spend some time to discuss about that. But right now, they are already pulling some tricks against both the Chinese. Well, the CCP has been doing that forever. But what I didn't expect, of all the time I've been to this country, I have seen partisan fights within this country when they use, hypocrisy, when they pull some stunt inside this country in political insight. But I have never seen known conspiring with foreign power to deceive or act against American interests. There's a difference. If you're an incompetent, that's just one story. And that has happened in the history, like before World War II, when the British and France government when they're incompetent, when they misjudge, right? And that is one story. When you knowingly deceive American public, when you actually give the bottom line to a country that serves American youth interests, and yet for your own interests, for your own political interests, stage a stunt, stage a deceptive meeting, that is a totally different story. And that's why I feel that the tough talk from the CCP side actually serves Biden's interests indirectly.
Well, and, how much of that do you think is coming from the people surrounding Biden? And I mean, I don't know if any of us can ever, really lay our hands on any of it, but they had a lot of history. I mean, Hunter Biden and all that stuff. I mean, they had a lot of history with China. How much of that do you think?
A lot of interest. A lot.
Yeah.
And so now I worry that migrate from the administration to America's internal crisis, and they can get away with this because this country has been so divided. It's actually, when we're talking about divided, we're talking about probably we're thinking about dividing into two, right? But right now, this country has been divided into many. I believe in January, we talked about this country being a divided house against itself, a house divided against itself, crossing an Lincoln sphere. And we ended up talking with that, the fear of God. Now, I see it much more. And America right now has a true internal crisis, and that is this country has been divided into several groups, each having different standards. They don't even have a common standard. Our value system is confused, divided. Right? And for example, and this is heavy on our mind ever since it happened. The million people that went to Washington, D.C. on January 6th, no matter how you look at it, they went there for their love for their country. Right? Maybe for those people who dislike them, right? Maybe they think the worst we can think of them is that they went there for a different political opinion.
Right.
But one thing we cannot charge them is that they went there for rioting. But yet, this accusation has been hanging over their head, over a million people. And there's lack of sympathy for those people. And there's lack of defending of their decency. And I see that as a real crisis.
I think you're right, and that's it's very similar to all the other things that we're seeing as far as, you know, shutting off the freedom of speech, and you're not allowed to say certain things, and we're going to round up people of certain beliefs. And let's take a quick break right there, because that's very reminiscent of the Chinese Communist Party. I'm sure that gives you absolute nightmares. We will be right back with our guest, Dr. Shizong Chen. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Couldn't help it. I had to play that for you. Probably feels like a whole big replay of your youth, watching this all happen. When you watch the stuff on this,
exactly what you said. It's precisely because my youth, my experience, I view this thing quite differently.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The so-called January 6th riot. I remember, even after the June 4th massacre, for a long time, I'd say even now, there are still people insisting that the students were patriotic. They went to Beijing, they went on the demonstration for patriotic sentiment. Even some communist low-level officials, university presidents, under that kind of a high political pressure, they still think the students were patriotic. They went there for good reason. Right? And it really pains me to see those, I don't know how many people were there, the actual number. But I say, probably a million plus. They have an allegation against them. Now, hanging over their heads, no political leader defending them. And that is morally so wrong to me. Right. And so that is the basis for this to happen. For the political stunt that the Biden administration can pull in Alaska meeting, and for us to not see it, for this country, for the public not to see it, because you know what? To see something clearly, we need very clear moral standards. Once we are confused, once we are unclear in our moral stand, we don't see things clearly. And this is the whole problem. This is at the core of the problem of the United States. And that's why I say, as a whole country, we're in real internal crisis. It's not just like President Lincoln said many years ago that no foreign power would be able to conquer the United States. If we will fail, we'll have to fail internally. And this is what's happening. And what is preventing people from even defending that simple, even if they support President Trump, even if that is in disagreement with the election as well, they didn't go there to commit crime. But now there's a lack of defending, there's a lack of sympathy for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that says our moral sentiment, our sense of right and wrong is weak in this country. So this is not what I knew. Like I'm an immigrant. I'm a naturalized American citizen, but that's not what I remember. No. And so, how did it come to this point? And this has to go back to several things. This is not overnight thing. And when we first started this program, like in end of 2018 or early January, when we were going through this topics that we have covered, I thought I was already little ahead of the race, ahead of the general public, because I see things from my experience how the CCP operates.
Sure.
But even now, I realize actually it's a little behind. Things have, this country has been infiltrated and corrupted by communism much further than I originally anticipated or understood. That there are internal forces doing this, and then there's external forces doing this. Externally, we talk about generous lobbyism, and this is worth reviewing a little bit. The generous lobbyism is what I described the CCP's approach to international society, but in particular towards the United States. After June 4th massacre in 1989, and particularly after the disintegration of the whole communism alliance in Soviet Union and East European countries, the Chinese Communist Party is in two crises, both in the crisis of legitimacy in governing, but also in the crisis of their whole theory basis of their government. Basically, the Marxism was at a bankruptcy. And so they are in need of legitimacy, both in the world and in their own country. So they are looking for any way to justify their existence. So that's the need of their legitimacy. And the United States, under President Bush, gave them that. And then under Bill Clinton, enhanced that. And that process is the CCP's strategic move of generous lobbyism. Unlike Hitler, unlike Stalin, who threatened to run over the free world with military power, take everything that we owe, the CCP tell us, no, not only we will not threaten you, we will give you something good.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're gonna hand you something terrific. You're gonna love it. Let's pick up on that on the other side of the news. Our guest is Dr. Shizong Chen. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at
wethepeople.us.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. I'm newly appointed guest host here. I was just tired.
We had to fire the last guy at the end of the last hour.
The last guy was a chucklehead. Hey, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Go up and see them if you're in the market for a tractor or a mower or attachments. They got it all going on up there, a full parts service and sales. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Or you can get them on the web at papemachinery.com or give them a call. They got a phone, too.
Go figure that out.
Yeah, really.
Is it a landline?
I got a landline. Wow. Yeah, with rolling lines.
Oh, my God.
226-9226. Give them a call. They've got everything you might need in the way of, tractors or attachments, mowers, generators, steel products.
If they want to fix their tractor over the phone, should they call you?
Yeah. We've just installed a new crystal ball, and that is actually working. It's got a few little glitches, shocks the operator every once in a while, but it works pretty good. Yeah, give him a call.
Oh, it's sad. It's very sad.
Sad.
Okay, so we're going to go back immediately to our guest. And if you don't catch our show very often, we like to have the same person on for the whole program just because, I don't know, you know, all the little snippet interviews just don't, I don't know, they don't work for me. I find them frustrating. Don't learn anything. So we typically have somebody on for an hour, sometimes both hours, and today our guest hostage, I guess we should call him, for the full program is Dr. Shezong Chen. He's a microbiologist in Southern California, comes from China, and is very conversant in the Chinese Communist Party, how about this, tactics and philosophy. And it's got to be, we've been chatting with him for, I don't know, a year and a half, probably on and off, and the worst case scenario has actually come to pass. Trump administration came in, started rolling all this happy talk with the Chinese Communist Party back, and boom, now we've got the Bidens and the Biden administration who wants to capitulate on everything. So pick up where we left off at the end of the hour there.
Yeah. Yes. So the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, offers a different, completely different kind of a offense in disguise against the free world that no government knew how to deal with it, because it came with generous, I call it generous Maoism. We will not threaten you. We'll give you something good. The only condition is you mind your own business. Don't care. Don't look into what I do in my backyard, in my home, right?
So the we'll give you cheap products from China, just we expect you not to notice that we do that with slave labor.
Right. So you just enjoy your life. Don't bother to check where that good life came from, mm-hmm. right? So no government were able to, well, they didn't experience that before, and no government had the moral clarity to resist that, right? So that is one human weakness. We'll go back to that later. So I call it generous Maoism. That was 30 years ago, a quarter century ago. But now, after quarter century, we have raised the CCP. We have helped the CCP become the second most powerful economy in the world. Now, situations start to change. The generous Maoism is no longer that generous. It becomes more barbaric. Now it demands more. In fact, it robs more, it steals more. That's what I mentioned earlier, that the CCP began to mess up the world economic order. Right? What used to be norm, you know, you mend your own things, you produce your own things, you make money the honorable way, right? They change all that, right? Whatever they can make money, it goes. And the world starts to accept that as well. In fact, imitate a little bit of that to a certain extent. At the same time, the Biden administration needs some legitimacy now. When the CCP first rolled out the generous Maoism, because it needs something in exchange, right? You will give out economic favor. That didn't come from them anyway. That come from their robbery, their exploitation of Chinese people. So they gave themselves some of that out in exchange for free world recognition of their legitimacy. So it's a money for political exchange. Right? Now the situation has changed. I wonder how many people caught when Tiger Young said, now you, many people do not have confidence in your own democracy. What he was referring to, I'm sure, right? He was referring to and implying to their host, you got in power. You got in the White House through a questionable election. And so the Trump administration now also needs legitimacy. Unlike 30 years ago, right, when we American government, when the old Bush administration, we need no apology. We need no legitimacy in our moral high ground. The current administration needs that. So that is a significant change from a quarter century ago. So there is this need of helping each other. And that's why I say now our government is something that I do not recognize anymore. For many years I've been here, I have never thought, well, maybe inside this country, for internal political conflict, they pull some tricks, political tricks. Right? But to conspire or work with a foreign power, that I have never seen before. And I see that now, because there's a need for legitimacy for this invasion. But the strange thing, the worrisome thing is that is from external. Why internally our public do not see it? I'm sure a lot of people see it, okay? The conservative, particularly the church people, I think they still see it, right? Because to see something clearly, you need a clear mind, morally clear mind. I know what I'm saying is may not be politically correct, okay? But I see this country, I now see this country has been misguided by a lot of things over dozens of years. I remember in one previous show, I asked Aaron, I said, is this white supremacy a veiled attack against American exceptionalism? So that was when I first started to think about this. Now it becomes much more clear. That is exactly what has gone on for the past, I don't know, even half a century. That American traditional values have been undermined from within for the past half century, probably. I think there has been a demonizing and discrimination, and now even a persecution against honesty and goodness in this country. It's a slow process. It's a communism process. Internal process. Some of them are internal, a lot of it is from external. But that demonization is, first of all, the political correctness come from there.
Yeah. The political correctness is what kind of lures everybody in, and then, not to put too fine a point on it, but you start giving everybody free money, and pretty soon people say, you know,
well,
hey, this is kind of great.
Actually, this is pretty good.
This is good. I might not mind it. So I like the government gives me free money.
Until next month when I don't have any money again or a job.
Take a really quick break here. We'll be right back with our guest, Xiaozong Chen, Dr. Xiaozong Chen. And can't leave the doctor off. If you become a microbiologist, you should be called doctor. God bless you for that. I don't know how you even took those classes. I would never have made it. We will be right back. You're listening to We the People. You can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
.us.
Give a man a free house and he'll bust out the windows, put his family on food stamps. Now he's a big spender, no food on the table, and the bills ain't paid, cause he's spending on cigarettes and PGA. They'll turn us all into beggars, cause they're easier to please. They're feeding our people that government cheese.
That about says it all.
Yeah, I don't know though. How many times can we be fooled?
Yeah, really.
I have always been impressed by your ability to find a file for everything.
I was telling Bill I've got 438 of them so far, and so now I'm having to group them in little chunks, like, you know, things about China, things that are patriotic, things about the environment. Otherwise, it's too much to scroll through. But honestly, that government cheese song has just been ringing in my ears of late.
Yeah.
And that's all part and parcel of it. But I think you're totally right about the political correctness. Because what that has done, and I, well, like yesterday, what did the guy say in the grocery store? It was fruity something or other.
Fruity alternative.
Oh, yeah. The checker at the grocery store last night, he tells this lady in line, I overheard him, and she was the lady behind me. We were bagging groceries, and he says, oh, yeah, that's like a fruity alternative.
He was talking about amaretto, and she had a different brand there, and that's when he referred to it as a fruity alternative.
And so I went up to him, and I said, hey, are we still allowed to say fruity alternative? the guy kind of looked at me, and I was laughing, so I mean, he knew I was kidding. But I said, you know, we have to be able to say these things if we want to, because it's funny, for heaven's sakes. And that's the thing. I mean, people are so worried about, you know, what you might say. Gosh, would that not just offend someone? I mean, it's... You know, and I'm not saying be mean to people, although, you know, there's a time and place for that, too, I suppose. But not just to be rude or crass or whatever, but to be able to say things that are funny. We used to be able to, especially with humor, we used to be able to joke around about things. And now it's all about silencing everybody.
Well, now humor is nothing more than hurting people's feelings. And
that's
so
right.
You just can't joke around
about
anything.
You have to now go to a class and learn about that.
Mm-hmm.
And
sensitivity training, yeah.
What a great way to bring in a new culture. Silence everybody and then load their mouth with a whole new vocabulary.
Promise them future checks. Just let us continue what we're doing because the check's coming. You're going to get more money here pretty quick.
Free money.
In the meantime, they're behind the scenes working their magic.
But that was part of the January 6th event as well. You know, people didn't, when you said that, people didn't stand up and speak out against that. Because if you did, you were in on it. You know, you were probably a seditionist and a treasoner and a, what else were you? We were rioters, kind of.
So,
old.
Yeah, I confess that I trusted the system. I trusted once I came to the United States. You know, tell you a story, true story. Less than a month after I came to the United States, I came here actually in 1981 to attend a graduate school. And one of my classmates asked me, I mean, how are you getting along, basically? You know, I'm new here. I was new here. And I spoke very little English at that time. And I said, I told her, you know, it's been only a couple of weeks, but I feel I actually was born here. So, I'm sure I'm not unique. A lot of people came to this country, and they found that this country is a natural fit for human nature. I'll talk about human nature, well, hopefully today we have time. This fits our human nature. So, I like this and I trust this in so much that I didn't apply what I learned, my experience in China, to look at this country. And I only recently, when I see what's going on here, which totally surprised me, and I start to look back for the, you know, okay, you know, what happened for the past century, half century. And then I start to see our foundation, our moral foundation, our country's foundation has been slowly chipping away at its basis. So, when I say that we have gone through a demonization, discrimination, now, you know, persecution against, honest and goodness, I do not say it lightly. Political correctness, to start out with, it is wrong to criticize what's wrong as well. Basically, you cannot say that's wrong, because when you say that's wrong, you are hurting somebody. So, political correctness, its very essence is to wipe out the difference between right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot say what's wrong is wrong, because that's going to hurt. Right? But then this country has this history, has its unique history. The United States is one of the most unique countries. Probably the United States and China is two very unique countries in my view, okay? Again, another thing that may not be politically correct. But this country was not founded on ethnic, geological, cultural, or other basis like the other countries. This country was founded on some idea. So this country has its national ideal. It's called American exceptionalism. It's called the shining city on the hill. So this country, its people, have high requirement, self-requirement. They have high standards for themselves. And you cannot defeat that. So they found a way to defeat that as a discrimination. When you set up a high requirement, morally high requirement, you are a discrimination for other people because they have a different standard. Okay? When you say you don't steal, you are discrimination against people who occasionally commit some theft. Right? So basically being good eventually, subconsciously, it's saying being good is discrimination against not so good. that's how it evolved. And the perfect target for them to start to sell this, okay, there's a history. I'll make the history connection later, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a history in this country where a natural target is the African American, because they came from different cultural backgrounds, right? But they have been here many centuries. They are American. They are American. They until somebody make an issue about it. I'm sure I'm Chinese American. Okay. I bought into this system. I bought into this the system that really fits human nature. Nobody forced it up on me. And then they make a racial issue, a natural target, and say, you have to discriminate again.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, and they make a beauty out of it, okay, the other day, a week ago, I had, 2 weeks ago, I had a good talk. It's a friend, so I had a good talk, but straightforward discussion.
Do this for me. Hold that thought, so I don't have to cut your story off. Can you believe? I think we're time traveling, but we have to take a break again. It's really only every 15 minutes, but
wow. It
happens. I know. That's what I was thinking. Wow. We'll be right back. Our guest is Dr. Shizong Chen. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at We the People Radio.
.us.
It's our time to take a stand. Remember who we are.
Remember who we are.
There's a call across this land. Remember who we are.
Remember who we are.
We were a city on a hill, a candle in the dark. It started.
We should take that song and turn it into one of those shots that they're so fond of these days.
Yeah.
Give everybody a little injection.
A little injection in the arm.
There
Remember
you go.
Who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the story with your friend.
Yeah. So, we're having a chat here today, but the topic we covered are actually very serious, very heavy. And I hope more people will be talking about it.
Anyway, I do too.
So we had a very sincere, I hope it's a sincere discussion on racial issues. So after eventually, we obviously whole different points. Right? And after several, back and forth, I asked her this question. I said, okay, name a single country. Name another country that has treated African ethnics better than the United States. I say, I tell you what, I'm Asian American. I cannot think of another country except, Taiwan, that has treated Chinese better than the United States. Chinese have been treated worse in their own country in China. Okay. So name a single country that has treated African ethnics better than the United States. And she couldn't come up with one.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if this is country, it's the most racist country, how come we cannot even name another country that has treated ethnic Africans better? It should be very easy. If this is the most, if this is the most racist country, then everybody, every other country should have treated better than this country, right? So, and this is what I realized. Fundamental problem, one of the most serious problems of this country, that significant large proportion of this country has somehow been indoctrinated or deceived to believe something that is not factual.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even know why they believe in it. When you go over facts, that doesn't add up. Okay? And this is what I refer to when I didn't have as much substance at that time because I just start to realize this problem. When we end our January, talk show, I said this country, it's in, would be in for a shock. We have a deeply divided country which were with two parts, cannot even believe in the same thing. There's no common basis for them. And now I realize the problem went a lot deeper than I originally realized at that time. That everything we have is upside down. Not a lot of things that we have is upside down than we used to think. And our moral system, our very foundation has been chipping away, changed, deviated right under our own feet without our really noticing it until it's where it is now. And I call that, in fact, when you think about it, it's a crime against humanity.
Yeah.
It's not a violent crime against humanity. It's a deceptive, peaceful crime against humanity because humanity is defined by human nature. And human does have human nature. When we change this, when we go against human nature, that is a crime against humanity. Let me name one. When you have bathrooms,
yeah,
or restrooms, when you cannot even refer somebody as their, biological sex, that is crime against humanity.
Yeah, as a scientist, that's got to be incredibly offensive.
Yeah. So that is, now when I come to this, I realize that is a common interest between the Trump, the Biden administration and the CCP. Because what, so now I see, I read some commentary, and even Hillary Clinton came out and said, well, the U.S. has to defend Taiwan. Well, she's the one that gave a lot of power to the CCP when she was Secretary of State. But that's okay. Right? What I want to say is now a lot of people think Taiwan is the bottom line of the CCP. No, that is, when the Trump administration first came in, came into the White House, I actually tried to send, I wrote something and then put somebody before it. I don't know where it ended with. But at that time, I really tried to say that Taiwan is not the bottom line of the CCP. Right? The bottom line of the CCP is its upside down value system. Its whole power basis is that upside down moral or value system. And in this country now, we start to have administration based on a similar kind of upside down crime against humanity kind of a basis. And that, I think, is their common ground. Now, it's pretty hard. I know it may be hard to convince people that those two kind of administrations have some kind of a fundamental interest, value system. Well, we can have more discussion on it, but they are built on the same kind of upside down value system that's against human nature. And so right now in this country, it's already in China for years, right? But in this country, everything is good. You cannot criticize anybody because everything is good, right? Anything goes, right? Except goodness. Right? If you criticize anything that's wrong, you're politically incorrect. Except criticizing goodness, criticizing honesty, criticizing stating facts. That is okay. So, to me, that is an upside-down value system. People may not see it right away. But let me tell you. Now I'll give you the example I was talking about. The Democrats take advantage of African-Americans, took advantage of the historical mistakes. The CCP took advantage of the Chinese peasant to get into power. They make up story of how they've been taken advantage of by the landlords, and so they start the so-called the Peasants' Revolution. And with the Peasants' Revolution getting into power, we can spend another hour on this, but that was part of their strategy. And this is part of the radical strategy in taking advantage of the African-American, their story as well. They claim they represent their interests. They don't. Just look out. Before long, they're going to turn against like the CCP turning against the president.
Well, everybody's in line for that. I mean, nobody ever escapes that. You start demonizing one, then it's just, you know, wait for your turn.
Yeah, but pretty soon everybody's going to get a shot at you.
Since we now know you're listening to the music, you know, we thought we'd play one for you for the little bathroom bit you did earlier, because, you know, it's just fun, and in the interest of not being politically correct, we might as well. Might as well play the song I've been dying
throw
to play.
Throw down, Aaron.
It's Travis. It's Travis in there. He's going to throw down. I didn't have it queued. He saves me.
He'll be around to take the part of it.
Yeah, we don't take calls, by the way. No. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. You can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Good.
Hmm. Ah. Hopefully that's not right away.
We couldn't resist. A little fun. But it's a little too close to home. I mean, those songs are old. A lot of these songs are old, and you look back at what we used to think was funny, and it's like, oh, man, now that's real, and you're not allowed to laugh.
You're not allowed to laugh.
It's exactly right, too close to home. We're down to the last 10 minutes.
Correct.
There's just so many topics to cover. But I would like to spend the last 10 minutes in something we have discussed before. That is the human conflict. There are only two kinds of human conflict. What we're going through, okay? In the larger picture, we have not escaped the human problem. There are only two kinds of conflicts in human world. The kind that the animal even know how to do. That is the interest-based conflict. Fighting for territory, fighting for spouse, or fighting for resource. Right? Even animal knows how to do that. And then the second kind of conflict that only human is capable of doing. But I used to say that the conflict of truth and lie, and right and wrong, not at love and hate. And while the interest-based conflict is most prevalent in the human world, it really is the ideal, the second kind, the only human is capable of kind, the ideological-based complex, that really matters, that has a bigger impact. For example, the Cold War, the World War II, or the belong to that type. And the conflict between the United States and CCP has evolved for the past dozens of years. Originally, the communism had disguised their ideological intent in the economic enticement. But its whole ideology is hiding behind those political interests. Now it's surfacing. And the greatest of human, the greatest ideological conflict that human is capable of, to me, is what I say, humanity, human value. Whether you believe in human values or you're against human values do not come from human values. Even in this country's founding, they claim that we're being endowed with inalienable rights from our creator. So there's a conflict of where our human nature comes from, and that is what is on the line right now. And that has actually been going on in China for a long time. The communism is set up to destroy human nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes from demons. And with where the United States is right now, that is also coming to this country. And I hope more and more people, we probably need more time to discuss that, but I hope more and more people come to see that, that what's in this country, what's going on in this country now is more than just partisan fight, more than a fair election, but rather something much more fundamental. Like what I said, you know, when the other system was upside down, that is a system based on anti-theist. And the only, but I'm not, as bad as it is, there's a hope.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of fitting here at the start of Easter week, you know, to talk about that, because that is the goal, is to take, if you can take God out of society and then at the same time rewrite history, right? Let's convince everybody that our country was founded on slavery. We've done, did a show on the 1619 Project for the people who have never heard of that. Fan back through our archives and look at that. So change the history, get rid of God, and the CCP's plan falls kind of right into place.
Mm-hmm. And so how do we win that? There's an example. The CCP has been persecuting Falun Gong for the past 20 plus years. And so obviously Falun Gong people have setting an example of at least give the world hope that there are people who can withstand that kind of onslaughter.
Yeah, the resistance of that. Tell me this. Is Falun Gong that's, besides the Uyghurs, that's really all you hear about in China as far as, religious sort of persecution? Is that kind of the largest group? Is that why we hear about that so much?
Okay. It's not only the largest group, that's also the most persistent group. And that's a group that the CCP is afraid of the most because it has not been able to conquer that group. CCP has been able to conquer every other group.
Oh, that's got to be kind of terrifying for them.
Yeah. And then also, more importantly, that group is bringing back the right side of value. And that is the most important thing. And we need people to bring back the right side of value. And that hope is in, the church's people, the conservative people, because they have the right side of value. We need to go back to be able to tell our children what is right and wrong. We need to go back to teach our public. There is difference between right and wrong. to tell the difference is not politically incorrect. To say everything is equal except, you know, goodness, that is wrong. And we need to write our value system back right.
But I think you hit it on the head earlier when you can't even admit societally that there are two sexes, male and female. When you muddy the water there, right and wrong, it seems like it's pretty easy to erase that.
Start from there.
Exactly. I mean, it's all part and parcel of the same thing. So just in case people thought those agendas were different, nope, it's all the same stuff. You know what? I know we're going to run out of time, and we've got like a minute left, but I really, instead of just cutting you off like we do every other time, I wanted to actually thank you so much for coming on with us. You bring a really good perspective and one that is incredibly informed. You grew up under the system that you're watching our country not fight against, I guess. I'm not going to say we're embracing it, but we're not fighting against it. I don't think people are afraid of it like they should be. Really, I think they should be much more afraid of it. I know we'll have you on again in the future, and we really appreciate your input and your insight. Anything you'd like me to post for today, please email me, and I'll put it on the website, too.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Oh,
we
sure.
Love
sure.
it, and we really appreciate you.
Thanks joining
a lot,
us.
Dr. Chen. You can find this interview and send it to your friends and get them all plugged in with what's going on in the world at wethepeopleradio.us. The odds are that we will probably be all right. Odds are we gonna be all right. Odds are we gonna be all right for another night.